Hello and welcome to episode 39 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa, and this is episode two of the alumni series. And we are really excited to have former Purdue guard Sterling Carter on with us. Sterling, man, thank you for hopping on. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate you guys, allowing me to be on your platform.
Heck yeah,
Yes,
man.
sir. I'm gonna hop right in because Sterling, man, one of my favorite things about following you on Twitter, and when you answer this, make sure to highlight your Twitter account. But man, like you can tell your tweets, you bleed black and gold. I know, like, how excited for next year are you? Because Tim and I have talked about kind of how the year ended and then how, Paint has kind of reloaded. And to me, he's kind of added the perfect kind of guys to this roster. But just strictly from a fan standpoint, man, how much are you excited for next year?
To be honest, I'm really excited. The part that excites me the most is the return of Braden Smith. That kid is he is the blue collar guy. He does everything. He doesn't complain on the court. You don't see him have attitudes. You don't see him have outbreaks where he's yelling at the officials or complaining about guys missing shots. He just goes out there and plays. That Houston game, I know we didn't finish it like we wanted to. But for him to give up his body at the end like that for the team to go down and possibly win the game and they just not call it, like, to me, that shows a lot about the person that he is. I don't know him personally, but I would love to, meet him one day and, just talk basketball because that kid, just watching him from afar, just seeing everything that he's about, not having to score. He's a true point guard, and every team needs one of those. And to be, he's another extension of the coach on the floor. And you can just see it by the way he moves, the way he passes. He's never rattled. He's never in a rush, or he's never trying to play outside of himself. Like, that is the reason why I'm really excited. Also, Kaufman Wren is really nice too. He's a great big. We're known for having good big men. But the pieces that I've seen add, the other big guy, I think it's from is it North Dakota or South Dakota?
South Dakota State.
Um,
South
South,
Dakota.
South Dakota State. That big,
Yeah.
I think he's going
Yeah.
to be really good, a good addition for us, as well as the kid from overseas. Been watching a lot of highlights on them and, see what they have to offer to the program. But Coach Painter and the staff is always good at finding the diamond in the rough. I mean, he doesn't go after guys that are super talked about all the time or five-star guys and all that. Like, he finds the guys that fit his program. And to me, you can't go wrong with that. Like, he's been to the tournament every year. I think really was the last year that they didn't go to the tournament. So from the year after I left, was the start to their tournament like run. Like, they haven't missed a tournament since. And I'm just excited, man. I like you said, I'm a fan of what Coach Brenner does and how they recruit, but I think it's going to be another great year for us.
Yeah, man, like we're super stoked here, and like I mean, at least me personally, I'm a big Braden fan. Like if you've listened to the pod, like I drop a Braden stat every
Every
time we record,
episode,
it seems
man,
like he
every
sets
one.
a new record. Like it's
Right.
just it's unreal what he does. Like, have you seen a game like specifically like the Houston game? He had an assist on every basket scored in the second half.
That's
That's just
crazy.
insane, man. That just
Right.
goes to tell your point about him being like a true point guard, like especially against a defense as good as Houston's. Like,
Right.
I just, man, I don't recall ever seeing that happen before.
Did you see the how they tried to trap him, and it didn't faze him? Like, to me, if you put any other point guard in that situation, they're turning it over, they're trying to rush and dribble it off their foot, or taking on two guys, like or making the pass too early. He just was under control the whole time, and it just like I'm like, wow, this kid gets it. Like he understands, he knows what's gonna happen. They ran the trap the whole game,
Whole
and he
game.
still did the same stuff that worked every time. And it was like, some kids try to fix things that aren't broken, and he's not one of those type of people. He just plays the right way, and I think having a guy like that on your team, how can you not be successful? Like he's a really good player. And to hear the story of how he had zero Division I offers, and Coach Painter watched this game and was like, "Hey, we got to have that kid right there." Like that's just a testament to how Coach Painter is as a person. Like you don't have to have a star by your name. You don't have to have LeBron James athleticism to be a Boilermaker and make a difference. Like he truly goes and finds the right guys every year. And it's like, geez, like how do you have that? It's like he's like a magician. Like he can see through people or something. Like, how do you know that this guy is gonna turn out and be this way? Like that's the amazing part that I just love about our coaching staff and how they recruit.
Yeah, no, that Houston game, man, that was, because it was very noticeable, like from the jump, that like Houston was not, they weren't going to let him get anything going downhill. So every time it was a pick and roll, it was two guys trapping him, sending him basically back out to half court, and he just kind of dealt with it, like, okay, cool. And then once they kind of backed off, then he was quickly scanning the defense and he was able to find guys. I mean, it's like, I think I said it like in the episode we had after the game, but like, it's hard to sit there and look at a guy who I think he had like 15 assists that game. And I was like, it's hard to sit there and be like, we needed more from him. Cause it was like, if you watch that game, like he gave you everything. Like, yeah, you of course we overall needed more points, but like, and you want to say, hey, Braden, go out and get us a bucket. But like against that good of a defense who was very content on like, was very hellbent rather on like, no, you're not going to get to like do your shit the regular way. He was like, all right, like I just, if this is what they're going to allow me to do, then I'm going to carve them up this way. And it just didn't, I mean, obviously, yeah, it didn't play out the way we wanted to, but yeah, man, Braden, every, and like Ben said, every episode, it seemed as though he's talking about a stat of like, hey, Braden set this record,
My
or Braden's
guy.
the first person to do this since then. And yeah, it's just, I'm very excited for that as well. That, yeah, that in particular for Braden to come back and hopefully be able to really do something special this upcoming year.
Yeah, man, and I kind of want to kind of Sterling, I'm interested because you talked about like how Paint, finds guys kind of under the radar, and you were kind of like that as well. And just kind of curious how the recruiting process went for you. I know you started off as Seattle, but like, did Paint like reach out to you, or did you reach out to Paint, or like, how does that process work?
So it was like a so I when I left Seattle U, one of my assistant coaches was like really close with Coach Gary, Greg Gary, that was on the staff at the time. And I'm assuming that he reached out about me to him. And a couple of days later, my assistant coach came to me and was like, "Hey, I just want you to know, I sent up your name and information to coach at Purdue, blah, blah, blah." I'm like thinking to this dude, like, looking at him like, "What are you talking about? Purdue's gonna call me?" Yeah, right. And so, sure enough, a couple of days later, I got a call from Coach Jack Owens, and started the recruitment process. It was a little crazy how everything worked out. Like as far as like me leaving Seattle U, like I had, I hadn't, that wasn't my, I wasn't trying to leave, but things happened there. And I was fortunate. Everything, like you said earlier, everything happens for a reason. But I went on a recruiting trip with my dad and my stepmom, and it just was unbelievable. Tyrone Johnson was my what do you call it, my guide or
The
whatever.
guide, yeah.
He showed me around everywhere, and just the guys on the team was pretty good. And the reason I chose Purdue over like going to other schools that I had at that time, I had already scored a lot of points. I had already been a guy on the team, and I wanted to go somewhere where I could grow as a person. and try to win something that meant something. And when I went to Purdue, Coach Penner never told me, like, when I went to the visit, he never told me, "Oh yeah, we're gonna get you in here, and you know you're gonna start, and you're gonna do this." You know, he was like, "I'm gonna put you through these workouts, and we're gonna see how much you really want it." And you know, going through the workouts, mind you, I was out of shape. I wasn't in basketball shape, so I had to really dig deep to showcase what I could do. And got done with the workouts, went up to his office with my parents, and you know, he sat me down and was just like, "Hey, if you come here, you know, we're not gonna promise you anything. Everything you get, you're gonna earn." And you know, when he said that to me, it resonated. Like, this guy's not gonna lie to me to get me here. Like, I've heard everything from all the other schools and went on a couple of visits. They had my jersey in the locker with a whole bunch of shoes and you know all the gear, you know, and they didn't do that. And it for me, like, that meant more to me for them to just be genuine and tell me like, "Hey, look, you're gonna earn it." Like, that's what I know. I know to earn everything I get. Like, I've been an underdog my whole life, so having somebody tell me that face to face meant more to me than somebody singing me a, you know, a story, like, you know, like a fairy tale. So when I got there and I seen all that, and my dad loved it, and you know, I was like, "Yeah, this is where I want to finish out at," you know. And it didn't go as planned. I felt like I was my time there, I was too busy trying to prove something. Not necessarily on the court, but like prove that I was a good person. Like, the way I left Seattle U, like a whole bunch of stories were made up about, you know, why I left and you know what happened, and it was just like a lot of lies. And so, me being who I am, I don't want no one ever to think negative about me. So when I got the opportunity to go to Purdue, I was like, you know, I got to show these guys I'm a great teammate. I'm a, you know, I don't care about scoring. I don't care about myself. I'm here for the team. And that's how I really felt. But it was like, I tried to emphasize it a lot more than I should have, than I had to, at least, not should have. But I felt like I didn't really get to showcase the real basketball side of myself. You know, I was in the gym every day, running stadiums, stairs, and shooting shots until like 3 in the morning. Like, a lot of people didn't know that I was in the gym. Like, they would have to tell me to get out. I was in the gym so much working on my game. But it just, I don't know. Like, I feel like I didn't give Purdue everything that I had. And that's the reason why we didn't make it very far. And then I got hurt, of course. But for the most part, I tried to be the best teammate I could be. I tried to be a great leader to the younger guys, Raphael, you know, AJ Hammonds, Bryson Scotts, Ronnie Johnsons, all those guys that were a part of the team. If you ask any of those guys today, they'll probably tell you, "Yeah, he was a great, you know, he was a great leader, he was a great teammate." And that's what I prided myself on in my time there. But I feel like I could have did more on the basketball side of things.
Well, I mean, I want to just say like I feel like you were a perfect fit with that team, and I don't think it's any coincidence. Like you kind of left your mark on that team, and they, you know, started to do better after you were there. And I think it just goes to kind of what Sam and I have spoke about for a while about like how Paint finds guys to like fit the quote unquote Purdue family. And just guys that are the perfect fit to play there. And I'm just curious, kind of, was there much of a culture shock coming from out west to West Lafayette, Indiana? Like, there had to be like a little bit of a switch up, man.
Probably less
And
rain.
it was the all 4 seasons that got me, I'm not gonna lie. You know, it rained a little bit, it snowed a little bit, it was hot a lot. It was, you know, like, I hadn't had that before. So when I got there, I'm like, "Okay, it's hot. You know, I don't need a jacket." Then it got cold, and so I called, you know, they gave us jackets there, but you know, I'm from the Northwest, Seattle, so I asked my parents to send me a North Face jacket, 'cause I was like, "No way. I got to have something thicker than this that they gave us." But it was, you know, I liked it a lot. It was different. It was, you know, it was definitely a culture shock for as far as the weather, but just being around the people in West Lafayette was amazing. And you'll see me post this all the time on social media, especially Twitter or X, excuse me, that our fans are the best, and I'm not just talking about in the arena, like outside the arena. Anytime I see somebody with a Purdue sweater on here in Texas, I'm always like, "Hey, you went to Purdue? Are you? Oh no, such and such. Oh, hey, how you doing? I went there as well. Boiler up." And it's always love. It's never, like a snobby person, like, whatever. Like, it's always love, and I love that about Purdue and the fans. It's just amazing. Like, people reach out to me online all the time, and just, "Oh, we miss you," and just little stuff like that brightens people's days, and especially mine, for sure. So I really,
Yeah,
really
well,
appreciate it.
I think it just goes to show like the impact that you had, man,
Yeah, that's what I
because
think. Yeah.
like just like what you did kind of in a program where it really needed some leadership, and you were kind of there. And I gotta ask you about the IU game, man, because that was like probably, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm assuming that was like the highlight, man, where you just like going into that game, could you feel kind of like the rivalry or just like from an outsider, like that was that the first Purdue IU game or was that game two?
No, I only played them once that year,
That
it
was
seems like.
we
It was
only
only
had one
one?
that year.
Yeah, only had
Okay.
one.
We only had one.
Okay, so
Yeah.
like, could you feel the rivalry like as like a new guy, like, oh shit, like I don't know what we're gonna do this year, but we gotta beat IU. And then like in that
I'm gonna
game, because you balled out, man, like did that like carry over?
did.
I'm gonna be 100% honest with you guys, and it's probably gonna come as a shock. But that whole like week up to the game, I think we had a bye before the week before. I'm not 100% sure, but I want to say we had like 2 weeks of preparation for that game, and everyone was talking about this game, and I'm like, "Bro, it's just another game on the schedule," and they're like, "No, it's not just another," and I'm like, "Bro, like as a kid, my dad used to get on me about like coming home being extra hype about who we're playing." Like in high school, I played against Kevin Love and guys like that. So I was like, "Man, Dad, we're playing against Kevin Love." And he's like, "Who's that?" I'm like, "He's the number one." Da, da, da. He's like, "So?" And so that was like, that's always been my mindset since a little kid. So when they were like, "I use the rivalry," and I'm like, "I get the rivalry. I'm not from here, so I don't, it's not
You don't
bothering
know, yeah.
me. Yeah, I didn't know."
Right.
So I'm like, "All right, man, whatever. I'm gonna just do my same routine, go get in the gym, get my shots up, whatever. You guys can do all this extra stuff you guys are doing, but I'm just gonna focus and stay the same way." And kept getting asked that same question all up until the game. How do you feel? I'm like, I'm not from here. So it doesn't, it's not, I'm not adding any pressure to myself or, anything like that. So when the game happens, like in my mind, it was like, I really want to showcase that I can defend at a high level. So I was, reading the scouting report about Yogi Ferrell and how good he was. And I really wanted to, I wasn't going to say I was going to stop him scoring like completely, but I really wanted to
Make it
minimize his
harder.
ability and
Yeah.
make it way harder. I picked him up 94 feet the whole game, basically, that I played in. And I felt like that is what got me the energy to score on offense. Like my shot was gonna start falling eventually. I wasn't shooting that well up until that game, but I know what I was doing behind closed doors, and a lot of people didn't know, but I did. I knew I was going to the gym every night shooting and trying to get back to my shooting abilities. The reason why they brought me in the first place. But I just kept true to myself and just worked. And that game was like a testament to my hard work, and to have that game stamp my legacy there, it just proves my point that hard work, pays off.
Yeah, I mean, 19 points in 18 minutes, 5 of 6 from three. Yeah,
Wait,
he was
that's
looking like
one thing I
me
can
out there.
say. They messed that up.
Don't do
I
that.
didn't.
Don't do
Hey,
that, Ben. Don't
they
do
messed
that.
that up. They messed that up. That I was actually 5 of 5. The first
Oh.
I took was not a 3-pointer, it was a 2-pointer. They messed me up, man. My dad called me and said, "Hey, Hey man, you didn't take a three, and you did that was you were 5 for 5. I was like, nah, they have me for 5 or 6. He sent me the clip. My foot was like all on the line, and yeah, I was like, all right, they got me.
Sound like Sim now when we hooping, man.
Let's not. Let's not. Wow.
I'm
Hey man, stats are everything
about
nowadays.
to say stats is everything
You're
though, man.
right.
Man,
You're right,
yeah,
man.
man.
Everything is analytical nowadays.
Right. Nah, man, but no, like you're right. That was like I'm just looking at the game log from that season, and like yeah, that one time we played IU that year, we won by 18. And like I said, yeah, you had 19 points in 18 minutes. You were right too. Like you guys, there was a week in between games. So you guys played like the week before against Ohio State, and then yeah, there was a week off until y'all played IU. I guess what are your You said that like leading up to it, you were kind of like, all right, like I'm not from here. Cause like, yeah, if you grow up in Indiana, you have an idea of what Purdue IU is. But obviously not having grown up in this state, you're just kind of seeing it like, all right, like it's just a game. Like I need to go out and I need to do me type stuff. Not necessarily like be selfish, but just kind of like, no, I'm gonna go about this like it's any other game. Now, on the backside of that, I imagine now you understand the
Yeah,
gravity of what
for
Purdue IU
sure.
is. Yeah.
IU sucks every day of the week. If I have to assume, right? You know what I
My
mean? Like,
man.
but it's and it's not even. And that moment, like when I was there, it was like, okay, if my brothers are going to war, I'm a lace up and go to war too. You know, like this is their if this rivalry means this much to them, then I'm gonna fight hard with them. For whatever they get at the end of this game, like you know what I mean, like it to me, it was just I'm going here. I do it if it wasn't a rivalry, but I'm gonna amp up even more for them because I know what it means to them. Not
Right.
necessarily for me, but for them, it means a lot for them. Bragging rights and all that. A lot of them are from Indiana, so I understood
Right.
it. Like we have rivalries in Seattle, but it just. I didn't have the feeling like, oh my God, this is my rival. I hate him. Like at that moment. Now, it's Purdue or nothing.
Right.
I mean, like,
That's right. That's right. No, man. I wanted to ask you because I'm not sure if it was this game, but we asked Ray specifically about one of his favorite stories with paint, and it was at an IU game, and he said they called a timeout and it was silent at Assembly Hall. And everybody was just sitting in the huddle like that. And was that the game that you were in? Like,
No,
because I got a feeling.
that wasn't my game. I never played at Assembly Hall. We played at IU at
Yeah,
Mackey.
Mackie. Yeah.
Well, then I'm an idiot.
Now that's more like it,
But
though.
as far as stories with paint, man, because that was one thing. I feel like paint is an underrated guy as far as being funny, man. So, is there any like stories you have that you can share specifically with Coach? That like will let kind of like the audience know about just how funny he is, man.
I feel like he's an
I mean, I
attention
don't
whore
really
too.
have stories like it's kind of weird. Like that dude is hilarious though. He's like got like the like you'll say something to him and not even know that he's joking because he has the same facial expression the whole time. Like he just what'd you say? Okay. Like it just but great guy. One time when I went back, this was after I played there. I went back to. Take a police test. I was trying to be a cop in West Lafayette, and he let me stay at his house with him. And I ended up going to the game that I think they played that weekend or something. And I seen him at the game. He was like, "Did you ever come home?" I was like, "Yeah, coach. I was in the bedroom." He's like, "Oh, I never knew you came home." And I'm like thinking to myself, "Dude, you live in a mansion. Of course you didn't know I came in." But it's like to have your coach after you play for him just allow you to come and stay and stuff like that. Like I wouldn't have got that from any other coach, at least that I've ever had. You know what I mean? Like it speaks volumes to what kind of guy he really is. And He's a great dude. He's not one of those guys that are super like always serious, and you know he does have funny moments, like even in huddles and like timeouts, he'll lighten the mood. Like he's not a big time yeller. He's not gonna cuss at you all the time, and he doesn't get the best out of his guys that way. And he's one of those guys that is a stern guy without using curse words, if that makes sense. Like, you know, not to mess up, because you don't want to get on, you don't want him not on your side at the end of the day.
Right.
Like that, you don't want that.
Right.
So, like to this day, I talk to him every, you know, maybe their text, you know, but I really appreciate him. He's a guy, great. He's always helped. Like anytime I was trying to get a coaching job, he's always willing to write a letter of recommendation. Like right now, I'm trying to, you know, get on a Division I bench after this season coming up, and you know he's willing to help and get my name out. You know, hopefully, you know, maybe I'll end up on a Purdue bench one day. I
That'd
don't know. But just an amazing
be dope.
person. Glad to have him, you know, part of my life and stuff, man. So not really any
That's awesome.
bad or funny stories, but you know, just the fact he's out of my life has been great.
You said
All
how
right,
often did you
now
say you how often did you say you talked to him?
I talk to him quite a bit, like every maybe like twice, two times, three times a month.
Okay.
Like I'll reach out to him and say, "Hey, coach, how you doing?" You know, like recently I messaged him about, you know, how he was doing and, you know, trying to fill the team, get the team right. And, you know, I'm not gonna
Right.
bother him. You know, I'm just let him do, just let him thinking about him, you know, or you know, whatever it is for me. Let me Monday or. Never been a time where I've asked him for something or asked, left me on read or never did. Like, great, great dude.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it just kind of goes to speak to like it almost sounds cliche sometimes about how much of a family like the university is. But like kind of hearing you speak, like, man, it just goes to speak to prove like that, like once you're in, man, like it's a family. Like, we all here. I just kind of curious too, like, so no real, you're not gonna leak any paint stories. I'm gonna let that slide this time. You know, when we have you on the next time, we're gonna hold you to a paint story. But like with the squad, man, you gotta have some stories about, you know, what went on. 'Cause Ray told some stories, man. Like we heard, like
Guys scheduled class during practice. That's
guys had
fun.
classes scheduled during practice. Like, you know, we heard a story about AJ. Like, you gotta have some good stuff, man.
It's been so long, man. It's been so long.
It's all good.
I don't know, man. Just I don't know. It's been a minute. I'm trying to think. AJ Hammonds was a hilarious person, though. That dude, man, he would come to practice in pajamas. He'd be sleeping the team room, watching cartoons. Cartoons would be blasting super loud, just snoring on the couch in the team room, like at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, AJ, what are you doing in here, bro? Oh, he's sleeping fast. What the hell? If you don't get up and go to your room or your house, wherever you live at, it's just
Right.
crazy. Like he's always watching cartoons. But he probably was like the to me like the funniest a guy to be around, because he was just a big goofball, 7 foot goofball. It was crazy. I'm gonna
Yeah,
see
that
another
seems to be
one.
the
See.
consensus on him. We might have to get him on here, Ben. Have him tell some of his own stuff.
Yeah.
That's a guy you guys definitely got on. Like that guy, That guy had you guys crying on here all day long, I promise you.
it.
We had a walk-on named John that everybody used to like, oh no, like make fun of. But he was a great guy. Like I didn't understand it, but it was like, okay, John, now you're putting yourself in these positions. But it was a great dude.
That's what I'm
Great
saying.
dude.
That's what I'm saying. A
Yeah,
bandwagon
all of our
clown his
walk-ons
ass.
were super cool.
Yeah, that's how I made it this
Man, all
far.
of our walk-ons were super. Neil Brashears, great dude, one of my favorites. Who else do we have? Stephen Stroya, he was a great dude. Like all of our walk-ons really like motivated me because it was like these guys are here every day to kind of get like beat on, and like they still come every day.
Right.
Yeah, like they pushed the hell out of me. Like, and it's just crazy. Like now, how everything is transitioning. Like, I heard they're like going away with walk-ons. You have a 15 roster or something crazy, something like that. And I'm just like, damn, how could you get rid of the guys that actually push the team? Like those without walk-ons, I don't think your roster is gonna be successful. And that's just my personal opinion, because you don't have a guy that's willing to just work all day, every day. You know what I
Right.
mean?
Right.
No, that sounds like me at the co-rec. Now,
Jesus
but
Christ.
I want to switch gears
Yeah.
a little bit, Sterling, because I want to make sure we talk about this because we kind of chopped it up a little bit at the beginning, and I want to get your input, man, because let's talk about the transfer portal, and kind of I think you have a very interesting perspective, obviously, coming from out west, coming to Purdue. Sim and I are both big fans of the portal. And I'm all for athletes doing what's best for them. Now,
This should be
could
cooking.
things be better as far as getting rules in line for that? Yeah, we could talk about that and until we're blue in the face. But just in general, man, like, kind of what are your thoughts about kind of the portal and like the college landscape, and kind of all of that right now?
Are we talking just transfer portal, or are we talking transfer portal, NIL, all that stuff?
So I want to talk transfer portal first because NIL, I feel like, is a whole nother beast. But as far as the portal, I think, I am, and I think Sim is a firm believer. Like, if you want to go make yourself better at another school, you go do that because a coach can go do that and nobody blinks an eye. But when a
For sure.
player, when an 18-year-old kid realizes maybe this ain't the best fit and he wants to go somewhere else, all of a sudden he's looked at like, like he's not
He's not
loyal. So
loyal, right?
I think
Okay.
the portal specifically is really good for college athletics. Curious your thought.
Okay. So just for everyone's, just a little background information. So I went to three schools in 5 years. So my first school was the University of the Pacific in Stockton, California. They play in the Big West. Now they're in the WCC. So I redshirted there, then went to CLU, got a waiver for some stuff that was going on in my family, then went to Purdue. Okay, that's three schools in 5 years. Okay, now let's talk about the portal and the reason why I feel the way I feel. So with the portal, I feel like it's a great thing. Don't like hear me out. It's a great thing when it comes to guys feeling like it didn't work out, or even the school feeling like, hey, this isn't gonna work, whatever. But the part that I disagree with is when you have coaches who are blatantly just looking in the portal. That does a disservice to the guys that go JUCO. That does a disservice to the guys that come from high school, because in my opinion, I've dealt with guys in the portal. Right now, I have a few guys that I know that are in the portal that'll hit me, like, hey coach, you got any connections, whatever. And I know guys that are in JUCO. I know, and obviously I'm coaching a high school team. So for me, it's like it's not fair to the high school kids, for one, because if I'm a coach, if I'm a head coach, I want to be able to lay a foundation for my program. And I feel like you can't do that with kids in the portal, just getting guys all straight out the portal, because those guys come with baggage too. Whether they leave on good terms or bad terms, they come with baggage because they just came out of a whole different system than your system. And now you have to erase that system and put your own system in. But that's going to be hard. So it's not going to be easy for them to just drop whatever they learned at this last program. They're going to still have some of those bad habits. They're going to still have some of those systematic things in them because they were robotically installed in them. But when it comes to high school kids, it's like they're fresh. They're able to. They're like a fresh canvas. Like, you can put your own spin on them and have them play the way you want to play, whether they stay for the 4 years or not. I feel like it's a better canvas to work with. Now, when it comes to the portal, you are going to be able to get guys that fit your program, and that's where, to me, it makes more sense. I think it should be 2 years. Like, a guy or gal has to stay out of school for at least 2 years, just because you can't know if it's not going to work unless you completely just don't try. Like, in a relationship, right? Like, you guys are good friends, right? I know there hasn't been always good things between the two of you. You might have stole his pancakes when you guys were roommates, and you told him that he didn't, and you know what I mean? Like, it just, it put sour taste in your mouth for a couple hours. Like, what's the difference between that and a kid not feeling like he's not getting the opportunity the first year? Or, how do you know what it's going to be like the second year? If everybody jumps in the transfer portal, why not stick around and see what you can do? Like,
Right.
who was it? I think it was Baylor. Was it Baylor? And I think Clemson. A lot of these schools just had a whole roster and then everybody left. Like,
Yeah.
what, like, see, that makes no sense. If I know four guys are leaving, I'm gonna stay
I'm
and try to
stay.
get more minutes and earn,
Right.
you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. But I think it's more so because of the money aspect of it, just the ability to say, someone, this isn't working, and not really actually give it a up and leave at 1 year. To be 2 years. I say 2 years is because it gives you that balance. Like, you'll have 2 more years to go somewhere else. You have 2 years to really figure out if this place is for you or not. Year one, I could leave, I could stay. Either way, I'll be okay. Year two, it's like, damn, no, this is not working. This ain't working. Oh, this is, I'm glad it ended up smoothing out. Like, it's a, I don't know, it's a fine line. And I feel like, yeah, coaches can leave and go whenever they please, but coaches don't leave situations that aren't good, that are not, like, why do I put this? A good coach is gonna stick around as long as he feels like he has more work to do in that place, or he feels like he can still grow himself and the program. Like, if he's still in doubt for what he can do for that program, he's doing the right thing moving on and letting somebody else take it to the next step, because he might be still in doubt. Like, he might can't go further than where he's at, and he knows that. So him leaving and taking another job is not only better for him, but for the program. Because you hear a lot of coaches say, it's time for another voice to get in that locker room. Like, that, they really mean that. Like, it's sometimes you can't take a program further than you have because your abilities are not where they need, like, where the next step needs them to be. Like, and that's okay. That's why you go somewhere else to where you can elevate the next program, and then the next person comes in and takes your spot, and they can elevate.
Yeah,
That's fair.
you're not wrong.
That's fair.
Spoken like a coach, for
Yeah.
sure.
Well,
But
and also,
you're not wrong at
Ben and I used to have arguments, but it would be more so because, like, if he hit on the sneakers app for some Jordans and I didn't, I'd be salty
a.
about that. You know what I'm saying? So Yeah,
Yeah.
I still harbor grudges, but it's okay.
I'm still waiting on my cool gray 11s, but that's another story for another
Can't
day. But
relate, dog. Can't relate.
one thing,
Yeah,
Sterling,
you
I'm
do
sure
have
you probably
pants.
got like three pair, bro. Like, Sterling, just randomly, what was your favorite sneaker to hoop in?
It wasn't at Purdue though. When I was at Seattle, I had a pair of shoes every game, just about. So I hooped in. My favorite hoop was the Cool Gray Fives.
Ooh. Ooh, okay. Okay,
Oh,
the
gray
fives.
joints. Oh,
Tim
wow.
and I just had a talk about how I feel like the fives are slept
Very much so.
on.
They are definitely
So
slept on in basketball shoes. The Cool Gray Fives, and I would say the Jordan Twos low top are my favorite. Those are my favorite shoes to hoop in.
what
I
about
like the 18s. I hooped in the 18s. Nice.
What
18s,
about
yeah.
specifically when you were at Purdue? Because it's hard to get the black and gold, because I know you got to match the sneaks with the uni. So what was the favorite sneak?
My favorite sneaker I wore that year was I had some LeBrons, and I never wore LeBrons until these LeBrons. I think they were the LeBron.
This was 13,
I gotta
14.
Google it. I think it, yeah,
Yeah.
it was when they had like the line on the tongue. It was,
The eight.
let me see, man. The eight,
It's the
with
eight.
the, yeah,
I
man,
tell you what,
those
it
were
must be
super
nice
comfortable.
to just have sneakers. You don't even know what they are. You hooping in, man. It must be
Hey, man,
nice, man.
I'm a shoe connoisseur, man. I have over 100 pairs of shoes in my closet. Like I love shoes, and that's why I hooped. And when I was at Seattle, I hooped in a new pair every like I would go to Nike and buy a pair of shoes for that
You were
week's
close
games.
too,
Like,
right?
yeah, we have outlets all through Washington, so it was nothing
Okay.
to go get a pair of shoes.
See, that's why I gotta go out there, man. That's why I gotta go. I'm at these
Man,
national
I'm
parks.
trying to tell you.
I'm gonna raid them outlets, man. I'm gonna
I'm
raid them
trying to tell you,
sucks.
man, because
Here.
my man doesn't even know what kind of LeBrons he was in. He got that many sneaks,
That's
man. I'm
crazy
trying to
work,
get
yo. Bro, he's
on your level,
see,
Sterling, man.
we weren't
Like,
even allowed to. I was crazy. I wasn't Purdue allowed. Then Mookie was not going for in shoes outside of or Nike. Like I would have had Jordans, everything, but I was trying to be a rule, keep do what they said. You know what I mean? Break no rules.
That's true. We're trying to
That's
follow the
fair.
followers. That's fine. Yeah.
Try all the rules, man. But I'm definitely like a big shoe guy. Like, and I like that these kids are being able to express themselves, their shoes, their swag or whatever. Like,
For
you used to
sure.
couldn't wear different colors. Used to have to say, have the same color shoe on as the
You guys
uniform, and
accept it.
or white and black.
Yeah. I said I think they
Yeah, now
black. Yeah,
they can
they
work.
seem like they've relaxed on that, because I know Braden this year was wearing he was wearing the KD4s, the Aunt Pearls, pink. Like
Exactly.
those don't match. And then what was it? Mason was wearing
Nothing.
he was wearing the Aunt Pearl, I think, KD's last year. I think he was wearing like the they might have been like the 17s or something like that that he was wearing. So yeah, I like that. And I like that they kind of took that hint from the NBA too, because the NBA used to be the same way, and then they relaxed it, and that allowed people to really get busy. People like PJ Tucker, who I think we're all envious of. But
That
yeah, no, I
is
like that.
that's a shoe. And I got a question for you guys. This is something that's been on my mind for a long time, and I don't mean to like take us in a, well, it's not a different direction, but how do you guys feel about coaches not dressing up anymore? I kind of don't like it. I kind of feel like it's your, this is your job that you're at work. I feel like you should. Where's the suit and tie at? Like, you know what I mean? Like, or a shirt and tie, whatever. Like, I feel like we got to get
So
back to that profession.
I'm with you. I feel like the polo and the slacks is kind of like the bottom of the barrel.
That's
Like
what we're doing here too, man.
you gotta at least do that. But I'm all for like a coach like rocking suit. Like I feel like one of my favorite weeks is when is the coaches versus cancer, when they all have the suits and they have the sneakers.
Pretty hard. Yeah. I like, but it's like that's like
It's
once
a
you
one-off.
know what I mean? Like
It's a one-off,
yeah,
yeah.
it's one-offs. But coaches, you're coaching against a guy that's in a jogging suit and in a shirt and tie. That just looks, I don't know. I think we gotta clean that up
So let me flip it on you now. As a coach, when you're on the sidelines, what are you rocking, coach?
You got to be
I'm
suited and
fresh all the
booted.
time. I'm fresh
He said
every,
what?
like, I'm always fresh. Like, I'm always polo, a nice pair of
Okay.
kicks, match. Like, I'm a guy that I'm a matcher. So, head to toe, my wife gets me right pretty much all the time. Like,
Right. Listen to
gotta
him with the shout out to the wife. Smart man.
That's
Shout out.
smart, yo. That's smart. That's smart.
Shout out. She gets me right. She has me suited and booted. Like this year, like I'm coaching for a Puma brand team, and I never wore Puma a day in my life before this. But I will say it is a good brand to start wearing because I've gone crazy with it, and like the shoes are comfortable, the clothes are nice. Like I'm a Nike guy, so when I put on a Puma shirt and a Puma sweatsuit, I'm thinking like, man, I don't want to put this on. I want to wear my Tech sweatsuit.
Right.
But it's
Oof.
like
Little tech, please.
it's pretty spot on. I'm not gonna lie, the clothes are pretty comfortable.
That's good.
Yeah. But if you got an extra homeless bag lying around and you want us to try it out, man, I'm not gonna say no. But
I'm gonna say I will drop your address immediately. Well, for myself, I guess, like going back to your question, Sterling, about my like thoughts about coaches wearing like being either suited up or so I guess like I remember when it used to just be like a one-off where like I think it was like Bob Huggins used to be the only person who'd be like in basically in a pullover and some slacks. And I'm kind of with you in the sense of like I feel like yeah you should probably do like a polo like essentially like golf attire, so at least a polo and some slacks, and then yeah you can get your shoes off however you want to. But I will also say, I'm a massive fan of like damn near every quarter zip that that Purdue coaching staff has had, and I have been campaigning for at least a year that I'm gonna need one of each of those. So I can't sit there and slander them when I want them,
No,
because that would seem hypocritical.
they do it a good way though. They do it a good way though. They have to sit with slacks and nice shoes. They don't wear like t I haven't seen them wear tennis shoes with it. Like I'm seeing like the guys are wearing track shoes. It's like straight just out the plastic, got on a jumpsuit and some Nike shoes and tennis shoes. Like that to me is just like, what are we doing?
Someone,
You know what I mean?
well,
Like, just
someone needs to be the true champion then, and then just go all the way. Tech fleece suit on the sideline. Let's go.
hey, I'll turn the
Sterling,
game on.
have you ever seen paint in a pair of J's?
Never.
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 I'd be
What's your
scared.
sneaker
I'd
glide
be
doing?
scared to see how
I
he
would
laces them
definitely
things
be
up,
the
man.
guy to get him in them though. I would definitely be the guy to get him in them. If I was on the staff, I would make sure. Yeah, I'm gonna have to reach
I
out
want
to
to see paint in some
him.
J's, man.
Yeah, we're gonna
Hey,
need him in
that would,
one.
I don't think it would be hard to do. I'll either call Braden, his son, and be like, hey man, I dare you to bet your dad to put on some Jordans for the game before the game.
Bro, there was
Take
some
a picture and send it.
there were some gold and black Jordan 1 highs that dropped last year. I mean, it's right there. You
Got
know what I'm saying? It's right there.
that
And
some low
honestly,
top
and
on.
right. They got some low top ones too. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would.
Some 12. Some black and gold 12s that came out with the white bottom.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's some options. They've been shout out to Nike, they've been looking out for us in terms of putting some colorways out there for people like myself.
Lot of,
Mean,
we got a
and
lot of.
we got Coach Gerald's on the woman's side who stay in some heat. So
She's
like
well, she's
all Payne has to
sketchy.
do is talk to coach,
Right.
and I'm pretty sure coach will hook her up.
See, she's on to something though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stay in heat.
Yeah,
That's
man.
what I like
Oh, man.
doing, presenting the right way.
Right. Yeah. But no, I agree. I mean, there used to be I think about guys like Rick Pitino, like his whole staff, like they're just like
It's a
suited up.
work
And I think
issue.
there's something to be said about like, yeah, when you're clear, like when everyone's there just like suited up, like that's not a bad look. But yeah, I mean,
No.
I would agree with you. If someone, if you have a coach, a head coach who's in essentially a tracksuit, like yeah, that's probably a bit of a str or what was it, losing recipes. Probably strain a bit, strain a bit that way. So yeah, I agree with you there. But like I said, if anyone from Purdue's listening with real connects, size large, get me right, please, and thank you. Actually, for the whole squad.
Come on, man. Come on now, one time for the squad.
Right.
But all I know is Sterling, next time I see a picture of you on the sidelines, my guy, you better be decked out, fam. Like top to bottom, you better be clean.
Always,
Win them
man.
comments.
We play this weekend here in Texas in the Gasol tournament, so make sure I bring something out, something nice. And
Okay.
go. I don't know
All right.
what yet.
All
Make sure
right.
Hammer guy gets me on the
That
side.
works.
We're gonna
That
be on the
works.
lookout, and we're gonna definitely repost that because
That's
we are
right.
gonna be on the lookout because my man's gonna be suited and booted this weekend, man.
Right. I
would say suit. Have on a nice polo, something slight like
Oh, now
that.
he
But
switched it up. Okay.
Nah, that's what he said. That's what he said in the beginning with, though. He says a polo. He says
Okay.
a polo, some slacks, and then the shoes to match. That's what he said.
All
So I
right.
get it.
Yeah.
I got you.
No.
Slacks like some.
Okay.
It's summer.
All right.
It's you out here.
What you
It's
say? You said
AAU out
summer.
here. I said, AAU,
I think we're kind.
you gotta be comfortable with these kids. You playing so many
That's true. Y'all be out there all day too. Yeah,
No, but
that's.
I think
Yeah, man, we
I think that's
gotta.
a perfect. My bad, man. I was gonna say, I think that's a perfect kind of segue for you to kind of lead into what you're doing right now, Sterling. Because, man, I know like you are, and you've talked about it here, trying to get, into the coaching carousels, so to speak. I know you're in Texas doing this 17 and under, but just kind of take a minute here to plug everything you're doing, man. Where can we see like you on the sidelines? Like, what you got going on, man?
Well, to be honest, man, my journey to coaching has been up and down and all around the place. Like, 4 or 5 years ago, I was a high school head basketball coach back in Washington, Cleveland High School and at Yelm High School. When COVID hit, they canceled our season for Cleveland, and I was like, man, what am I gonna do? And I decided to join the military. I don't know if you guys know I was in the military or not, but I'm in the Army. I'm a military police officer in the Army right now, and I'm got what 6, 7 months left on my lovely Army journey. And now I'm coaching AAU for Marcus YGC team in Austin, Texas. Coaching has always not always been something I thought I would want to do, like especially as a player when I was playing. But now that just looking at my career and how things went for me, like I would be a disservice to the basketball community if I didn't coach. I love coaching. I love helping the next generation pursue their dreams and goals of doing the same thing I did, and if not way more. I'm really good at not just teaching the game of basketball, but the game of life. Like, I'll be 35 in July, and like I've been through a whole lot of stuff, and the journey that I've been on me is a testament. And so me sharing my testament with these kids, not only does it motivate them to want more and to hear where I came from and the obstacles that I had to hurdle over to get to where I was, it just lets them know that it's doable. And being able to coach this group that I'm coaching right now, like it's given me the love back. Because when I joined the Army, I was like, you know what? COVID took it away from me. Basketball is behind me. I'm not going to coach. Like my wife will tell you, we just had this conversation the other day, and I thought I was done with it, man. And when this opportunity came about to coach this team, I was like, man, maybe this is a sign. I need to be back in it. So reaching out to different people, like I said, I talked to Coach Payne a little bit here and there, and you know, he said it's a good opportunity. So I, you know, I went with it, and you know, he was just telling me things to start focusing on if I'm trying to really coach at that you know, at the next level. And you know, I'm just trying to remember those things, and at the same time as helping these kids, you know, get opportunities, scholarships, you know, just good life lessons out of it. And you know, my want for being able to coach at the next level is not just to, you know, make the money or, you know, have the status of being a Division I college coach or whatever. It's really to truly guide this next generation in the right direction. Like, I feel like all the, you know, all these coaches, a lot of these, not, I can't say all of them because I don't know all of them, but some of these coaches don't do it, are these kids justice when it comes to recruiting them. They tell them lies. They, you know, they don't, they're not genuine when it comes to the recruitment part. And they don't connect with the kids. And for me, like, I'm a connector. Like, I connect really well, but not just the kids, but the parents. Like, I recruited every kid on my team. Like, I went to watch every one of them play. I have 11 kids on the team. I went to watch every one of them play. And pretty much kind of like how Coach Painter does. He's, you know, he's, like I said, he's a role model for me and how I want to be a coach. And like, I picked and dissected each one of their games and try to figure out how it can help me build the best team possible, you know. And just being able to go to those games and sit and talk to their parents and talk to them and not lie to them and say, hey, you're gonna come here, you're gonna get a scholarship next week, and because that's not realistic. I'm telling them all the things that you have to do to even give yourself a chance to get a scholarship, to give yourself a chance to be seen. And those are the things that incur, like, make them want to come play for you, versus me telling them, hey, I'll get you a scholarship. I get you to go to Purdue. Like, I'll call my coach and have him come recruit you right now. Like, yeah, I probably could call Coach Painter and have him talk to a kid, but what is that going to do if he's not going to recruit him? What's the purpose of it? You know what I mean? Like, I'm really connecting to these kids and to the community on a level to where it's more than just me coaching them. It's me being an example, me being someone who's had to go through a lot of different steps. Like I said, I have three schools. I'm in the Army, been through a lot in the Army, and I'm still continuously trying to help someone else. Like, I just had ankle surgery actually, and been out, you know, still going to games. I got a little scooter that I ride on to coach, and a lot of coaches would have been like, oh, I'm gonna sit this out, you know, let the assistant coach, I'm gonna stay home. But no, me, I'm really trying to be there for the kids because I want to show them that there's someone that actually cares, that cares more about you than themselves. Like, I could say, hey, you know what, I'm a call it quits. I just had surgery, blame it on my surgery. But in all reality, I'm still going to stick it because I care. I care more about them and their success and to do the things that they really want to do, their dreams and goals, like I did. Like, you know, I didn't have someone that advocated for like that. So to be that advocate for my kids is, you know, something that I appreciate and genuinely care about.
It's awesome, man.
That's what's
That's
up,
great.
man.
That's great.
Love to
I
hear
didn't
that
mean to be.
stuff. Just kind of. Oh, I'm sorry. Sam, go.
You whipping around on that scooter like Marshawn Lynch?
Man, it's kind of crazy. My kids make fun of me because I be moving like this one leg pushing, and you know, the scooter's moving, so gotta get to where I gotta go, man. You know, my kids help me,
Man.
my kids, they help me get it in and out the you know, the car and stuff like that. So I'm good, man.
I just think of that Lupe song, man. Kick, push, kick, push,
It's
kick, push. That's you on the sidelines, coach.
the
Sometimes I forget I don't have my other leg available, and I want to stump so bad, and I just have to pick up the scooter and slam it on the ground. On wheels, like, it's kind of funny. Like, I'll be forgetting. My son told me I got to get a backup a backup noise because I always run them over. I'm back on the sideline.
That'd be crazy. Tell someone to
No,
check
that's
in,
funny,
you
man.
turn an ankle because you're with the wheel of your scooter go over them. Be crazy.
You're just
Yeah.
gonna
I had to
throw the
start
scooter like
focusing.
at the ref when he make a bad call, man. Like
Hey, summon that
Bobby
Bob
Knight
Knight.
did the
Right, I
chair
would say
there.
summon that Bob Knight in,
Man,
yo.
I've learned my lesson, man. I learned my lesson about getting into with the officials. I respect
Have you gotten a
officiating a
T
lot
before?
more. And when I was a head high school coach, I think I averaged at least maybe 10 a season.
Golly, you ever get how many times have you been
Golly.
tossed out?
You were like me, man. This dude.
I don't think I've ever been ejected out of a game, although I came close.
Ooh.
I don't know. I'm a big advocate for my team. Like, if I feel like you're cheating my team, I can't just let that slide, Like, but
Yeah.
now I'm more experienced. I'm more, I'm gonna talk to the official. Hey, Mr. Official, what do my guys got to do here?
Right.
Like, you just tell me. I'm coming to you as a man. Talk to me, and I'm gonna talk to
Right.
you respectfully. They're like, yeah, coach, I got you. And then they tell me, and I tell the kids, and that's how it works out. But before, I didn't want to hear none of
Hey, that's I'm stealing that for how I talk about like when I support my teams, like I'm supporting Purdue, I'm be like, nah, man, I'm just a big advocate for my team. You know what I'm saying? That's what it
Yeah,
is. And I'm not even biased. I'm just a big advocate for my team. I like that line.
I'm not, it's not biasness. Like,
I'm gonna say
I know
that.
my heart.
Go, man. What'd you say, sir? I didn't mean to cut you off, man.
No, I was just saying I'm a big advocate for my guys and my team. Even when it comes to Purdue, like that push off on Braden Smith, like I'm losing my mind here. But hey, they didn't call it, so it
Man,
wasn't a foul. You know what I mean? Like that's the way you gotta, like the old me would have threw my remote at the TV, put it all kinds of stuff, but they didn't call it, so it wasn't a foul. And that's the way I've been looking at stuff and just trying to control what I can control,
you
as a
better than
fan.
me, Sterling.
I'm about to
You
say, you
better
better
than
than
me,
me
dog.
because it was a foul today,
Because
tomorrow, twice on Sundays.
that group chat was buzzing, dog. Like that
Bro.
was a foul.
I'm about to say you were much better than me because I felt a certain type of way. I could have been down there at the stadium, but about 25 minutes.
Man, I was gonna go, but I was out of town. We were in Monroe, so I didn't get to go.
Okay.
We had a tournament, so I was planning on going, but we were in a tournament.
Well, if things play out next year, you can show up in
Oh yeah,
April.
I'm gonna make myself available a lot more after I got, like I said, I got 7 months left in the military.
Okay.
After that, I'll be a lot more available for the for my Purdue.
All I'm saying is Purdue plays on my birthday next year. So if we want to ride out to Harry's,
See it goes, man.
just drop the
Hey, is that
word.
place still there?
Is that place still there?
It's still
Come
there?
on,
Oh,
man.
no, that was the story I should have told then. My bad.
Oh,
Man.
yes.
My
Yes,
bad. I
the
definitely
Harry's
did.
after that.
The
The
floor is
owner,
yours, man.
Harry's is a great establishment, man. One of the best. After the IU game, I kid you not, I walked in. Me and Tyrone, Tyrone and I were like really close. Walked in the establishment. I'm gonna call it the establishment. The establishment. Left, right, left, right. Here's a shot. Here's a shot. Left, right. Like I turn one way. Here you go. Turn the other way. Here you go. Finally get to the ball, to the place where they're serving, right? And I look over, and it's like a group of people. And they just grab me, and they're like, here, man, great game." And it is like, I'm like, "Huh? I go, what is this?" Like, like they say, you're not supposed to take stuff from strangers, but I'm
Right.
like, "Do I drink this or do I throw this over my shoulder?" And when I'm standing there, Tyrone's looking at me. He's shaking his head. He's like, "Nah, man, don't take it." And so I'm like, okay, and I get everybody look in a different direction, and I just start keep taking them from people and just throwing them over my shoulder. Then I get tapped on my shoulder. I'm like, turn around, and then somebody behind me, they're just soaking wet. I'm like, Oh, not this. I'm so sorry. And then that person's up giving me a beverage as well. So I'm like, oh, whew. I thought somebody was gonna try to take my head off.
That's hilarious,
But
man.
yeah,
Yeah,
Harry, that's a great place for sure. Man, any
all right,
kids
man.
that
Well,
are being recruited, I just want to say this. If any kids are being recruited by Purdue and you don't go on a visit, and you don't go on a visit and get to and go to Harry's, like if you're over 21, obviously, but if you don't go to Harry's and see that atmosphere after a game, you're missing out. West Lafayette is probably one of the best places to be as far as college. The atmosphere is just amazing. Like I couldn't, like even when I was there, so I know it's probably 10 times better now than what it was when I was there. But man, amazing place.
so what I'm hearing, Sterling, is when you come back to Mackey, we all gotta link up at Harry's,
That's
man.
kind of what it
That's
sounds
what I'm
like, yeah.
hearing.
Help us skip the line, fam. Appreciate you
For
for that
sure.
in advance.
I wouldn't leave West Lafayette without going to Harry's.
Oh, my
For
man.
sure.
A proper alumni,
This
yes.
is no NIL deal right here. This is me being professional. This is
No,
giving.
but still the man, I wanted to ask you, when it comes to coaching, like anybody that listens to the pod know that like I'm obviously a big fan of Pate and like what he does, how he does things the right way, you know, everything he does related to the program. And I'm curious, you as a coach, like, is there specific things you've like taken from Pate, or is there things you try? I don't want to say like that you try to be like Paint, but like, are there things that you've learned as playing under Paint that you've taken to be like a coach now?
Man, there's a lot of stuff that I'll emulate him all day long. He's a great guy to emulate. Like I don't take offense to that, and that I want to be like, yeah, of course. He's one of the best college coaches in the country. For the reason is he's very strategic in what he does. Like we were talking about earlier, the recruiting, finding the right pieces, but his planning is second to none. Like his coaches are second to none. Like the guys that he brings in, there's a reason guys leave only to go get head jobs. Guys don't leave to just go coach, be at other assistants elsewhere. Like I'm pretty sure a lot of the assistants that he has now could go make way more money coaching elsewhere as an assistant. But those guys are being primed to be head coaches when they're for their next stop. And I think that some of the things that I take from Coach Painter is just the patience that he has with his players. Like, I've learned patience when it comes to guys, making mistakes. Like, I let my guys play through their mistakes for the most part. But I also teach through the mistake. Like, yeah, he might have turned it over off his foot, but I'm gonna teach him, like, hey, instead of going the way that way where there's traffic, go the other way. And you'll have a better outcome. I don't just pull them out the game like, oh, sit down. Like, a lot of coaches do that. Like, a kid's never gonna learn if they don't play through the mistake. You know what I mean? Like, now you make that mistake 5, 6 times. Okay, yeah, it's time for you to come out and take a break. But as far as Coach Painter, like, just the little stuff that he does, like the preparation, making sure we read our scouts and making sure that the scouting reports are very detailed. Like everything that he does is very detailed, and that's how I try to be. Like even in AAU right now, like I just sent my team a scouting report. Today's Monday, and we don't play until Saturday. So I've given them ample amount of time to go over the scout. Like who's doing scouting reports in AAU that you guys ever heard? Not too many coaches, right?
I was gonna say, I feel like a lot of AAU teams, they just show up and they play.
And that's it.
Yeah,
But
but
for me, like, I'm auditioning for something else. I'm not auditioning to be an AAU coach, if that makes sense.
right.
Like, I'm preparing myself to be on that college level. So I'm preparing now with the guys that I have now in the situation that I'm in now, so that when I do get the opportunity, I'll be ready. And that's something that I've taken from Coach Painter. Like, you might not be playing right now, you might not be starting right now, but when you get that opportunity, you're going to flourish because you've always been ready. Like if you look at when I ended up starting my time there, it wasn't like I just went in the starting lineup because he was trying to punish somebody else. I had ramped up. Like I said, I was trying too hard to be the best teammate and the best, instead of just focusing on the basketball aspect of it. And when I started putting more emphasis on the basketball side of it, my play got better, made more shots, played better defense. So then I moved into the starting lineup and we won more games than we had outcome just because of me, but the energy that I brought, the of guys and like the diving on the floor for loose balls, like just that extra energy that I brought. It wasn't like fake energy where you hear guys rah 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 and let's get hype, let's clap and all that. No, it was real energy. Like you felt it. Like that's all comes from the guy that I'm playing for. If I don't appreciate or understand what the guy that I'm playing for is wanting from me or expects from me, then I can't play with that energy. And Coach Painter does a great job of really laying it out what he wants for his guys and what your role is. Like he's not gonna let you come in and be like, yeah, shoot, you got a week to figure out if you want to be a scorer, passer, rebounder, or shot blocker. No, he's gonna tell you that when you're on your visit. He's gonna tell you that when he's calling you to recruit you. Like, and some kids don't like that. Some kids think that everybody thinks that they should be a scorer, 30-point scorer, whatever, but it's not realistic. I'd rather somebody tell me, hey, I need you to be a shooter. Okay, I can do that. Versus me come in, I'm thinking I'm about to be a shooter, but in all reality, you just want me to be a different and a clapper, right? If I don't know that coming in, then that's going to make me want to leave at the end of the year anyway. Like transfer portal is allowing these guys to do. I feel like if a lot of these guys were told out the gate, like, look, you have a chance to come here and do this, this, and this. Right now, we need you to do this. They would stay longer. They would stay longer. I'm a firm believer of that because it happened to me. Coach Painter told me, hey, this is what we got for you. This is what we want you to do. And if you come here and do this the right way, you'll get everything you earned. They didn't tell me, hey, yeah, you just did this at Seattle U. Yeah, you can come here and do that here on this big stage. That's not realistic. And I knew that. And that's why I really appreciated him for and the staff for telling me what they needed from me right then and there versus me enjoying my whole trip and going there and thinking that, yeah, I'm about to score 20 points a game like I did at Seattle. Come there and not get to shoot the ball.
You break up there.
But
What
no,
was
man,
that?
I think you're spot on.
What was
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think I was gonna say, Sterling, I think you were cutting off there a bit at the end. What was that last part you were saying about about like obviously like being a straight shooter, but if they told you to come there to like, hey, you can do this, but then you found out, oh no, it's actually something else. Like that, just that last point there.
I feel like that's why you got guys wanting to leave because they're not, coaches are not being like straight up front out the gate. Like,
Right.
if I want you to come play for me, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't come off me telling you the truth, then what else? I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to make it sound better than what it actually is.
Yeah.
Like the opportunity itself it should be good enough, like realistically, but if I'm going to tell you everything that you want to hear, I'm not in the business of that. Like, and I don't think that's not something that Coach Painter and his staff does either. And that's why they get the right guys and they perform the way they have been the last forever.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think of that. Like, I think about that. Like, when you say that, I think about the whole situation with Cannon Catchings last year, and how that all played out. How, like, I think at least what I heard was just in terms of like wanting things that are promised. And like you said, Payne's not a guy who's gonna promise you anything. He's gonna tell you what it is, and then you can come in and you can work and you can, you can battle. And if you earn it, then yeah, you're gonna get it. And I think I agree with you. I think you're better off for it because you can be handed stuff all the way. But then what happens? Because eventually, whether it's in college or maybe in the pros, at some point you're going to find some adversity along the way in your journey. And it's like the sooner you run into it, and the sooner you have an opportunity to kind of harden your skin because you know you've gone through some stuff, I think it makes you better going forward. So that's always one thing I've kind of admired about the way that Paint goes about his stuff, is just being a straight shooter. Because yeah, and then you can never turn around and say, well, he didn't tell me this. It's like, no, he told you he was as real with you as he could have been, and he didn't promise you anything. And you know, at that point you have to make a decision yourself if you want to compete, if you want to go towards that possible adversity, or if you want to try to look somewhere else and maybe find something that's a little bit easier. And you know, that comes down to the individual.
And when you're given something like that, like you don't appreciate it. You give me a pair of shoes. I'm gonna wear those shoes a lot. I'm gonna not clean them off. But if I go spend my $250 on this shoe, you best believe I got a handkerchief in my pocket. I'm wiping them off every little speckle of dirt that gets on them. Like
Facts.
that to me, that's the difference. Like you giving somebody something that they didn't earn, or they didn't, you know, they're not gonna appreciate it as much. Like my parents used to tell me that all the time, like you buy it yourself because you're gonna appreciate it more. Because if
Right.
I get it, you just treat it like crap.
Right.
Like, and it's not, you're not doing it out of spite or on purpose. It's just the, you know, it's just the natural
Right.
for us as
The
humans to do.
appreciation is different when you know how you got to that point.
You gotta work for it. Like my whole career to me has been, I've been an underdog, man. I was told I wouldn't go to college. I was told I was too small to play shooting guard in college. I was told I was too ever to play, you know, everything that I've done off of the hard work of myself. Having a small support, you know, group behind me and, you know, continuing to push me. Like when I left Purdue, I thought it was over. I thought basketball was over. I took a year to get my knee back right, and like I said, I met my, you know, physical therapist, and he pushed me, and then I met my wife, which was crazy. And she even pushed me, and she didn't even know me that well, and it was just like, damn, how can somebody that doesn't know me that well push me as hard as she's pushing me and give me the extra encouragement that I need to go and make sure I complete my goal, and which was play overseas, and I had a pretty good career over here. I just, things happen, family happened, and you know, I decided to cut it short. But those are the things that motivated me to continue to push. Like now, like I want to be a Division I college coach. I'm not gonna stop until I do it. But people are gonna tell me all the time, "Oh, you're not gonna. That's stupid. You just got out of the army. No one's gonna."
Right. I got one question for you. Kind of switching back to something we talked about earlier. This
For
is my
sure.
last question. What's the first pair of shoes that you bought for yourself?
Wheel
Man,
spinning.
you're gonna kill me with this one.
He's
First pair of shoes
gonna say it's Concord 11.
Nah, I would say it's some all white Air Force Ones.
Okay.
Okay.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
What's the first pair of Jordans, though, that you bought for yourself?
First pair of Jordans. Man. Yeah, I got you. 17s, red and white suitcase.
With the CD. Oh my goodness. I've always wanted a pair of 17s.
Still
I've
got them?
never had any.
A whole lot of working for my dad.
Bet it was, because that those were the first those I think those were the first Jordans that were like that were $200, and at that time that was heavy money. That was heavy bread.
Man, I got called every name in the book for bringing those home. Man, my chest.
I just didn't understand. They didn't understand. They didn't see the vision.
And then they ended up getting stolen out of my locker, so that didn't work out very well. So that was double the you know, double words.
Well, I thought we were going to end on a high note, and then you end up talking about
Bro, right?
how your J's got stolen, and we kind of end on a down note. But
Right.
man, I want to thank you for hopping on and chopping it up with us. Like,
Sure,
and
man.
I think I speak for Sim too when like I'm not like trying to blow smoke up your ass or anything like that, man. Like, you're gonna be a D1 head coach, and I'm excited to see where you're going. And like we talked about it a little bit before, but like everything happens for a reason, man. Like I feel like just hearing you talk, you were destined to be a coach, and good things are headed your way, bro. And I hope that you realize that. I hope you keep grinding for her, that goal, and just know that we're gonna support you. When you make it big, just don't forget about us, man. Just give us some love, like when you're the
Definitely.
D1 head coach,
These
man, and you
jerseys,
talking and you're
jerseys right here.
No, but
If I
really.
make it, well, when I make it, you guys, this is one and two for Sam and Ben right here.
Hey, shout out to
When I
you,
make
bro.
it, I make
Might
action.
need to go talk to Payne immediately. Be like, yo, you gotta get him on the bench. You gotta get him on the bench. No reason. But yeah, you gotta do that. That's what's up. Nah, man,
It's happening though, man.
yeah, no, but
Like,
I echo what Ben said, man. I appreciate you tapping in with us and hopping on. Like I said, like I said before we start recording, like it's been a while, obviously, since you were at Purdue, but just being able to touch base with you and kind of hear about your time there and kind of what you've been doing since then. Like you've talked about all the adversity that you faced. I really think it's cool. It's cool to know because I don't think that at the time when you were there, I don't think people obviously knew what was going on. And I'm not sure just necessarily how many people have known since. But like you said too, like that IU game. I know a lot of people remember that. So I think for them, when they hear like, oh, wait, y'all had Sterling Carter on, I think that's going to get a lot of people to listen because they're going to want to be like, yo, what's been going on with him?
the first and only Hoosier killer for real. That was
Yo, hey, yo.
nicknamed
The
that. Seen
first
that a
only
couple
man little.
times. I seen that a couple times when that after that game, and I that stuck. And so every time I post a picture from that game, I always tag Hoosier killer.
Well, I tell you what, that's not that
You
when I
better let him
retweet
know,
when I yo
man.
when I retweet the post, that's what it's gonna have on there. It's gonna say got the one and only Hoosier killer on
One
there
and
first and
only, yeah. A
foremost.
lot of guys played in those games, but I was the real, brought it back for us. I don't think we've, yeah, we lost this year. Damn, never mind.
We split with them this year,
Was gonna say we hadn't lost in a long time. I think we won like nine straight.
yeah. Yeah, that what that I think that ended
Game.
last no like 2 years ago. I think that's when that ended because they came to Mackey and then whatever. That's why Jalen Hood got to the league, as Paint says. Whatever. I don't even like screw that
It's
school.
all
And I say
good.
that as someone my older brother went to IU, and yeah, we're not all
I would
perfect.
hate
That's all I'll
to
say.
be a for me.
What was that?
So I would hate to be at your family dinners.
Well, so like my older brother went to IU, my older sister went to Purdue. Like she's the reason why I even applied to go there. So, yeah, it can get
Oh,
awkward at times. It can get real awkward at times, but I just like to be on the right side of it every now and then. So, and
it makes sense, man.
after last football season, I had to hold dear and I had to hold like with all my might for basketball. So, was rough, but. But yeah, man, I appreciate you tapping in, man. Appreciate you. And like hopefully like if it works out and that
Yeah,
maybe down
man.
in the future we can get you back on here, man. 'Cause definitely want to, especially like if you being a coach when I whatnot, when we talk about like the games and stuff like that, just being able to see it or rather be able to talk about it and hear from somebody who sees the game through your lens. I think that's something that I at least I know for myself. I imagine Ben would agree, but that's something I know I'd like to be able to hear more of, especially with the expectation that this Purdue team's gonna have. So
For sure, man. Anytime you guys need want to chat, I'm always open. Like I said, I love talking basketball. The game has done so much for me, and I'm always here to speak on it or critique whatever. I'm not perfect, but I love the game and I love watching it. So I'm always here, especially for my Borler fam.
appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you for that.
Yeah, we'll definitely get you back on. I appreciate everybody for tuning into this episode, episode two of the Alumni Diaries. Hope y'all enjoyed it. And most importantly, everybody, boiler up.